Do you find it hard to be kind to imperfect people?
One of our listeners shared her struggle with us. She said, I assume that all my coworkers will go above and beyond, and I get mad and upset at them if they don't work according to my own standards.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that somewhere it says that we don't have to show kindness to people who don't deserve it.
Oh, I've lived by that rule.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules. Today, we're processing what we learned from last week's interview with Shanti Feldon, author of The Kindness Challenge, 30 Days to Improve Any Relationship.
If you sometimes struggle with being consistently kind, you're not alone. We're excited to share what we've been learning about this practical tool called kindness.
I am really looking forward to processing the interview with Shanti because I had so much fun watching your face during that interview. And I'm sure my face looked much the same.
Well, it's just so practical for me because I have this relationship that has been damaged somewhat on both sides, mm-hmm. but it's someone I deeply love and treasure and respect. And I have had such trouble getting my feelings back in line with mm-hmm. where I want them to be. Mm-hmm. What Shanti was saying was so revolutionary to me because I thought, this is it. This is what I got to do. And I've started putting it into practice already in the last 2 days.
Good
and
for
I already
you.
Feel my feelings shifting.
When I saw the title of her book, I was like, the topic really doesn't apply.
I felt the same way. And then, well, oh gosh, there's just so much to be said. But then as I listened to her almost immediately, I just felt my heart being pierced. Particularly that she had these action steps. So I know you wanted to speak to that. I'm going to let you go to first on that. That you asked her a feelings question and then she told us what to do. I'm like, oh, bother.
Did you notice that?
As Pooh would say, oh, bother.
Yeah, well, I was really hoping she would give me something to play around with in my head some more because I love living in my head because it's just, I look so good in my head, you know? And then I don't have to face reality. And so, yeah, she went straight to the chase of, here's what you got to do. And I'm like, oh, no, I was actually a little miffed with her because I'm like, I don't think she understood my question. And as I drove to town later in the day, I'm like, oh, no, she understood my question. So reflecting on Shanti's suggestion that other people's ideas might actually be better than ours. I mean, that was revolutionary. I'm like, well, clearly she doesn't understand my ideas, but whatever. But it made me really...
We really shouldn't be laughing this much. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so we can either laugh or we can cry. So this whole idea that other people's suggestions might be better, it made me realize how contradictory perfectionism can actually be in my head. Because on the one hand, perfectionism tells me I am the worst of the worst, that I can never do anything good enough, and that everybody is way better than me. But then if anybody dares contradict me or correct me, then suddenly I'm like, well, how dare they? Only I am allowed to doubt myself. Only I'm supposed to bash on myself and everybody else is supposed to agree with me. And when I was kind of processing that and putting it actually in writing, I went, that's nuts. I mean, it's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing. And I realized this has been happening in my head for so long, it actually feels normal. And that's scary.
Yeah. I haven't read the book yet, although now God is calling me to lead it at my church. Bummer.
I hear you.
And awesome. I cannot wait. But this idea in the book of being Pollyanna-ish, that's supposed to be, you know, a bad thing, that it's this idea of looking at the positive while completely ignoring the negative. And as you've said so many times, the two are not mutually exclusive. Hmm. You know, our emotions are not mutually exclusive, that we can feel pain at the same time we feel joy. But what Shanti is challenging us to do is to do both, that we can look things square in the face, see the reality of it, but choose kindness, to choose to say the positive thing, even though we fully know the negative thing. Here's what was revolutionary for me as she talked about kindness.
Do tell.
She referred to kindness several times as a tool.
Ooh, yeah.
And I thought, a tool? The first time she said it, it sounded almost manipulative.
Mm. Interesting.
And so I thought, so I'm going to be nice just to get somebody else to be nice to me. But then she talked about the difference between niceness and kindness, that kindness is deeper.
Yeah.
That niceness is surfacey. Niceness is what I do a lot. Gosh, I hate to say this. Where I mean, I'm going to say the nice things to your face. This is the people pleaser part, because I want us to get along and I want us to at least look nice on the surface. But I might say bless your heart as I drive away. The Southern curse. And so niceness is doing the nice thing on the surface. Kindness is taking it a step further and not saying the negative thing as you walk away, as you drive away behind closed doors. So that's not Pollyanna at all. That is, it's knowing the reality and choosing the positive thing instead. Amazing. Transforming.
Here's an insight that I wrote down today. I make my kindness dependent on the other person. Like, depending on how they behave is my level of kindness.
Oof.
And what I got out of Shanti's conversation with us is that Jesus says that my kindness is dependent on my relationship with him.
Oh, ouch.
I know. God,
my heart.
I know. But when I write it down like that, there's no wiggle room. And I know it's true. What I heard Shanti saying is we stay consistent. Regardless of how they treat us, we have the integrity to stay kind, because we are a kind person, because we're connected to Christ. And this totally flies in the face of what both perfectionism and people-pleasing does to us, which is, I'll be one way to you, and another way to you, and another way to you. And what the kindness challenge says is, no, we're going to be the same person to everybody.
I think both of us had these big aha moments as we talked to Shanti, that just as she confessed at the beginning that she isn't as kind as she thought she was, I had that realization almost immediately. And I've always considered myself a kind person. I have a tender heart. I love people. But as we talked to Shanti, I really did realize I'm not as kind as I thought I was. It's so interesting, because as we talk to our listeners, I hope that they have all listened to Shanti talk about this already. If you haven't, be sure to go back and listen. But it was interesting, because we talk in the speaker-writer world a lot about felt need.
Yes.
Well, you know, I think what you said about the title of the book is that we saw the title of the book. We didn't feel a need for it because we thought,
oh no,
we've already got
need,
it.
I felt a need to buy several dozen copies and pass them out to all the unkind people I know anonymously. You know, I would just like, you know, leave it on their doorstep.
Maybe that's the thing. If we think about the subtitle, 30 Days to Improve Any Relationship, that's where the felt need is. It's those damaged relationships that the kindness helps to fix, which, you know, we use it as a tool. It's funny, because that is the felt need. We are like, oh, I need to fix that relationship. But what really, I believe, Shanti's getting at, and what will get at us, is that we need fixed, that there is something in us, it's that sin nature in us that wants to critique and gripe and complain. Oh, gosh.
You know, one of the things she said in the book, she had a particular scripture she zeroed in on. She said, those of us who take the Bible seriously need to take unconditional kindness seriously too. There's a pretty sobering command in the second letter the Apostle Paul wrote to an up-and-coming leader named Timothy. And then she quotes from 2 Timothy 2:24, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. And as I was looking at this yesterday, I saw something that I'm like, oh, I wish I hadn't seen that. Because it's a list of four things. Must not quarrel, be kind to everyone, be able to teach, be patient with difficult people. In scripture, when a list like that goes together, often there's conditionality. Like, if you're not doing one of them, it ruins the whole list. And so what I saw is that it almost sounds like our ability to teach or to disciple others or minister to others or mentor others well is connected to the other three things. Like, if I want to teach, or if I want to have influence, then I can't quarrel. I have to be kind to everyone. And, oh, that last one, be patient with difficult people. I'd never seen all of those together. I mean, because I want to teach. I want to tell people what to do. I want the permission slip that says Sherry gets to tell everyone what to do. But that's not found in scripture anywhere. And so I was really convicted as I looked at this. I'm like, I can't just highlight the teach part and go, aha, that's what I get to do. They all go together. The not quarreling, the being kind to everyone, and being patient with difficult people. And none of this is possible on our own. I mean, I'm looking at this going, I need more quiet time. I need a lot more Jesus for any of this to be happening consistently.
That is so good. And I did not see those connections even when you sent me the scripture ahead of time. But I'm thinking about the teachers that I have really learned from.
Oh, so true.
If we, to learn from people, we have to trust them. And unkind people are not trustworthy. Mm. When you think about it, that friend who talks about other people to you, which I got to tell you that feeds my flesh, man. I love to have the scoop and the skinny and I don't pass along gossip, but I sure do love to hear it sometimes. And that I've had to kill that side of myself, you know, because that friend, what I've realized after a while is, oh, I don't trust them, because if they're talking about someone, then they talk about me too when I'm not there. Well, so we don't trust those kinds of people, and we can't learn from those kinds of people. So that's amazing. And the whole be kind to everyone.
It says,
wow, why'd he have to throw that word in there?
I'm not happy.
So let's think about the ripple effects of kindness. Number one, it works on us. Mm. It makes us more Christ-like, which is the ultimate goal. Number two, it helps our relationships. That's our felt need. It improves them. But then the ripple out that you're saying is that it increases our influence for Christ in this world.
It makes us safe people.
It's powerful.
Incredible.
Kindness is powerful. I kind of have thought of it as a kind of a mamby-pamby word before we listened to Shanti and processed this. Oh, be nice.
I've also thought that it just came naturally. I know a few people who are just amazingly kind, and I just assumed they were born with it, and thus it's effortless, and thus it can't be learned. But we know from the mindset research, we know anything is learnable. And now that I know kind of where I'm starting, I realize I got a lot of work to do. It's a goal now.
Yes.
To become a kinder person.
Well, and Shanti in her book and in this challenge that she's given, the free challenge online, and I looked at the website, there's a tremendous amount there for free. Everybody should check it out. But she has given us three concrete steps. Those are doable things every day. And with one person, to practice with one person first. Genius, because it really does help us towards real transformative change. It taps into the neuroplasticity, love that word.
I love that you use the word neuroplasticity, and it's true. Now, we did have a great question from one of our interns about what about times when we really do need to address an area of concern? Do we think that Shanti was saying we can never actually bring up real problems in our relationships?
As I thought about that question, I think that kindness actually earns us the right to deal with the real problems.
Ooh.
I had a friend who said, you have to earn the right to say the hard things to me.
Mm.
I think that's true of all of us.
Absolutely.
If you have no relationship with me, you don't have the right to say the hard things to me. It's only relationship that builds that right. So kindness is evidence of love. That was, as we were just talking about, this ripple effect.
Yeah.
Really, kindness is the overflow of true love, agape love, God-like, Christ-like love. It's the evidence of that. And if there's no evidence for true love, people, again, don't trust us. So they won't trust us to say the hard things. So, yeah, I think kindness builds a foundation for being able to say the hard things.
Okay, so if niceness is just that surface relationship, then it doesn't build trust. And so if we've just had a surface, nicey-nice relationship with somebody, but then they suddenly want to go deep into telling us some hard truth about ourselves, that doesn't work. Because all we have is a surface relationship with them. And so what you're saying is, if we've gone ahead and built the deeper relationship of love through kindness, then we can also go deeper with the harder issues. That makes total sense.
The way that we're defining nice is very, well, we've used the word surfacey, but let's just use the word fake.
Yes.
People have a radar for that.
Yes.
I have a radar for that. You have a radar for that. We can sniff that out in a second. Mm. If people have just a surface commitment to us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I think what you're saying is true.
So they can't have a mostly fake relationship with us and then want to do genuinely hard things. It doesn't work that way. You're either all in or you're just at the top. And it's okay to have surface relationships. I mean,
right.
It's not okay to fake it all the time. But I mean, we have a lot of acquaintance type relationships, but I don't want those kind of people trying to tell me hard truths. I'm not going to listen.
Right. I don't trust them.
No.
The trust isn't there. And that's a good word for all of us that, gosh, we could go into a whole show about mentoring. But if we're going to be mentors, we have to truly love people. I have people, it's one of the values of my life that I have truth tellers in my life. But there are a couple qualifications for those people. One is that they live it themselves.
Ooh.
Another is that they're committed, more committed to the word of God than their own opinions. And the third one is that they love me.
Mm. Those are great.
Love is shown in kindness. And those are the women I've said, well, and my husband, that you have the right to put me in check when I need to be in check. But without those things, yeah, you can not say anything to me.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for you to fill in that.
I was thinking of a nice way to say that.
All right. So, you know, we've kind of covered grit in that we've talked about here the fact that we're not avoiding problems, but that kindness lays the foundation to do the grit work of facing real problems because the tool of kindness builds the trust and the love then. And then in terms of grace.
Okay, so here's Galatians 5, of course, the fruits of the Spirit, kindness is in there. But the one that just kept nagging at me that I had to go look up this morning is Romans 2:4 that says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? So God and Jesus, our example for everything that we do, sets the example by being kind to us when we were horrible. We were separated from him. We were yet sinners. He was kind to us, and that's how he led us to repentance. So that was the thing. And then as I read it, I was like, oh, God used kindness as a tool.
This is amazing. Okay.
To repair a relationship with us.
Kindness, and to lead to repentance.
Isn't that beautiful?
So what perfectionism makes me want to do is I'm mean to the other person because I want them to repent.
Ooh.
I want to wring an apology out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what this is saying is that as I am kind, I am going to be convicted for my own repentance, which is really, we know this is the only place we have any right to mess. We can meddle with ourselves, but we don't get to meddle with anybody else. So, wow.
Practicing kindness can transform any relationship, not because it changes other people, but because it changes us.
From episodes 35, 35 and a half, and 36, the bad rule we need to break sounds a lot like this. My level of kindness is dependent on the behavior of others.
The fact that we can focus on instead is when I walk close to Jesus, I'm kind even to those who don't deserve it.
Be sure to stop by gritandgracegirls.com/episode36. You'll find this week's Digging Deeper download, the transcript of today's podcast, and a link for you to join the conversation on our Grit and Grace Girls Facebook page.
We hope you've enjoyed episode 36 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules. Join us next week when we'll be talking with Emily Freeman about the surprising enormity of being small.
For today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it. Wow. Okay. Some of that's going to get edited out, but wow. All right. I love talking to you.
Oh, I love talking to you. This is fun. This is the best. best.
This is the best.